this my last sermon of the year? I reckon so. Wow. I'm going to preach from now until the year begins. So, actually, this may be my shortest message of the year. Of 2015. Not of next year. Not of next year. This may be the shortest message. I want to talk to you just briefly today about Christmas. How many of you enjoyed having Christmas? I enjoyed having Christmas. And we had a good Christmas. It was a little different. Each year is a little bit different. This year was especially different with Zachary and Leandra in there. Oh, it was a pleasure having them with us that Christmas Eve and Christmas morning. And that was a little different. It was awesome, and I loved it. But it was a little different. You know, I've got, as the kids grow up, and some of you don't have kids in your home anymore, but maybe you have an opportunity to be with grandkids or whatever. And each year is always a little bit different. It's unique, almost like as if it's not ordinary every year, right? So I'm going to preach a sermon about not being ordinary one day. But today I want to talk to you about Christmas, because there's a phenomenon that goes on. That, how many of you got something for Christmas this year? Okay, you got something for Christmas. How many of you got something for Christmas this year that was something that you had never had before? Okay. How many of you got something for Christmas this year that is going to end up replacing something that you already had? Okay, there's a few of those. We have a thing in our house that it's kind of like an unwritten rule. It's not really a rule. It's more like guidelines. Arr. It's an unwritten rule. But if we go and buy 3 new shirts, when we come home, we have to find 3 old shirts to take out of the house, because for us, we just don't have the space. Okay, and my closet is—I don't even have a closet. I have a wardrobe. And there's just not room for a lot of stuff in there. And so if I bring something in, I got a new package of socks for Christmas. And so before I can put those socks in my drawer, I've got to count those 6 old socks, take them out, put them in the laundry room to use for rags or whatever, right? But they can't be in the house anymore. And we have those kind of guidelines, and it helps us to kind of out with the old, in with the new kind of thing, right? A lot of things that we get there to replace the older things with a new and improved version, oftentimes, right? Sometimes every once in a while I go in, I get a new phone, and it's always the new and improved version, the bigger, the better, the faster, whatever it is, right? And then the truth of the matter is I have a stack of old phones on my dresser, because you never know when I might drop it or whatever. But the new things come out. It's out with the old, in with the new. I told you about our space situation, and we just have kind of made that an unwritten rule in the house because we're limited on space, whenever we bring something in, new, something old has to go away. And I got to thinking about that. And like Darius Daniel says, and then I began to think about that thing some more. And then I began to think about that thing some more. And the more I thought about it, I thought, well, you know what? That's kind of the way we operate in the house, but really that's how we should be operating, you know, with our whole lives, spiritually speaking, right? Out with the old, in with the new. When I'm a man's man. I love power tools and stuff like that, right? And so when I get, I struggle because I got this battery operated screw gun, power drill, whatever you call it. And it's just about worn out, and so I get a new one. And you'd think that I would throw away the old one, right? Well, no, I've got old ones stacked around, laying around, taking up space, because you never know, right? I mean, I've had to go and tear one apart to get a part off of it to put on a newer model that the part broke, right? I've had to do that before and whatnot. But I remember I come by that honestly, because my dad taught me the art of hoarding. But it's not really called hoarding. It's not really called hoarding. Dad saves everything. Okay, not so much now because he lives in my house, and my house, remember, does not have much space. But I remember when we lived out on the farm out in West Texas, I mean, we had space everywhere, and Dad filled up as much space as he could with stuff. I mean, Dad would, when something would wear out and break down, my dad would disassemble it, take it all apart, gather up all the bolts that were the same size, put them in a box, gather up the washers, put them in a box. That piece of metal might be used for something. He'd whack it off and put it in the box, or put it, hang it up on the in the workshop ceiling there or something on the wall. And he'd save all this stuff. Velcro straps. My mother, she had these. She had a knee brace that she wore for a time, and she had these foam wedges that she had to sleep with. And when they would get a new one, you know, the insurance would send them a new one or whatever. Dad would take. He'd cut those Velcro straps off, roll them up, and save them because you never know, right? You never know. Now, Dad, in his defense, he came from a time when things were hard to come by, okay? And there was a need to salvage everything to use or even to repurpose later on. And when I was growing up, we lived on about 20 acres. And out behind the barn was, we called the automotive graveyard. Every car that was retired, I mean, there was no such thing as a trade-in because... Honestly, when we got finished with it, we would have had to pay somebody to take it, okay? And so we would stack these cars, park them, line them up out behind the barn. And at one point, I don't remember how, 30-something cars out there, because not only our cars, but then friends of Dad, same thing. I've got this car. They're not going to give me anything for it. I just need to stick it somewhere, Dad. So bring it out to the house. Bring it out to the house. Put it out behind the barn. It was our automotive graveyard. Every car that was retired went back behind that barn, even friends' cars. That became our auto zone. Our auto zone. When a water pump went out on your car, Dad would say, let me see. That 72 Buick out there has got a pump that ought to fit on that. So we'd go out there and rob it off that 72 Buick. Need a new transmission? Dad would say, well, that 69 Ford I've got out there, that's got a transmission that ought to work. It was good when I parked it. That ought to still be good. So we'd go out there and rob it off and stick it on there and truck on down the road. Dad kept our cars going. He kept friends' cars going, and anybody that needed something, friends of friends, Dad didn't even know, they would come up, Dad, Mr. Nix, I need a power steering pump for a 68 Plymouth. You got one? Sure do. Let me show you where it is. Dad would even go out there and pull it off for him. It's amazing. But the big difference between the things that are useful, or there is a big difference between things that are useful and the things that are junk, okay? I'm guilty of, I try to keep stuff that I think I might use, but I'm also guilty of just keeping junk. Sometimes it's because I'm too lazy to haul it to the dump, right? So, I mean, I've got a window unit that's sitting outside my little man house out there, and it's broken. It's got a hole in the Freon line. It's no good for anything. I suppose I could cut the power cord off because I might need that someday, but the rest of it, I mean, it's just junk. And why is it not at the dump? Because I've been too lazy to load up in a truck and haul it to the dump. It's just, sometimes I just have junk around. And I'm probably the only one in the room that does that, right? Okay. There's a difference between things that are useful and things that are junk. If you can salvage some things and keep some things that might come in handy someday, but then there's also just clutter. I've got three verses I want to read to you today. The first one is out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. Your version may say, he is a new creature or a new creation. The old has gone and the new is here. The new is here. This is very fitting because not only are we talking about Christmas stuff, we just got a bunch of new stuff, but also we're about to enter into a new year, right? A new year. The old has gone and the new has come. Another verse I want to give you is Ezekiel 36, verse 26. Ezekiel writes from the Lord, it says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. You want to talk about a horse trader? God is a good horse trader. He's going to let you give him a heart of stone. He's going to give you a heart of flesh. And a new one, a good one, a strong one. Always bigger and better. You know that God gives good gifts? The Bible tells us that anything good comes from the Father. Hebrews 8, chapter 13. This is my final verse for you this morning. By calling this covenant new, He has made the first one obsolete. And what is obsolete and outdated will soon disappear. You see, God's always in the business of renewing, refreshing, right? Trading. What we would consider a bad trade, God says, I'll take that. I'll take that. I'll take you, and I'll change you and make you better than what you are. I'll take that old stuff, and I'm going to give you some stuff that's better than what you thought you had. And I'll trade you. I'll trade you. So why isn't it so easy for us? You know why? Because we have to give it up. We have to go out there, back our truck up to the man shed, take that old window unit off the ground that's now sinking into the ground because it's been there so long, pick it up, put it on the back of the truck, and drive to town and unload it and put it in the bin. We have to do those things. It'd be great if God would just come by and say, okay, point to the items you want to get rid of and I'm just going to take them out. You see, it's not how it works. We have to give it up. We have to give it up. And you still think I'm talking about shirts and socks, right? Well, I'm not. I'm talking about other things. You know, we just sang a song, take it all, my life is in your hands. All to Jesus, I surrender, I give it all up. And we sing that. But do we really mean that? Yeah, that's where it comes down to how the cow eats the cabbage, right? I mean, that's how when we really ask ourselves that question, we have to go, ooh, do I really mean all, or do I mean most, or some, or a little bit? A little bit to Jesus, I surrender the things that I really want to give up and don't want anymore, but everything else I'm going to hoard in my house. That probably wouldn't make a very good song, would it? Not good, not good. You know, as I was getting ready this morning and we were updating ourselves on the weather and whatnot, saw some very disturbing images on the TV screen, on the computer screen I was watching. These tornadoes that ravaged through the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Guess what? Some folks just lost it all. Last count, I had at least 8 people even lost their lives. But when you saw the devastation of what used to be a neighborhood with houses, and I'm sure that this morning they had opened their Christmas presents, you know, on Christmas Day, and they had their stuff out and in their house, and it's now scattered all over the streets and broken and torn, just it's gone. It's all gone, okay? Put yourself in that position. What if God came in your life and said, I want it all. I want it all. And trust me, that when you give it all up, I'm going to give you better than what you have. You see, that's the truth about how God works. And you don't know that or don't understand that until you experience that. But you have to trust Him. You have to trust Him and say, Lord, I know that whatever I have or whatever I enjoy and whatever I love, I know that what You have is better. And so I will load it up. I'll kick it to the curb. I'll get it out of the house. I'll send it away. I'll take it somewhere else because I know what You're going to bring me is better than what I've ever had before. What is new? What is new? What is about the old life you had before Christ? Maybe you've come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You put your faith, your trust in Him, okay? What is new in your life since that day? What is new? Has anything changed? Have you given some old stuff up? And some new things have come in? Or are you still hanging on to things? What are you still hanging on to that Christ wants you to give up because He has something better in store for you? What are those things that you're grappling with, you're hanging on to, that you've hung up on the wall? No intention of using it maybe even, but you just know it's there and it's, I just can't part with that. I need to have that. Again, I'm not talking about shirts and socks. I'm talking about attitudes. I'm talking about habits. I'm talking about those kinds of things. It's the kind of things that don't really honor God, that are not part of a Christ-honoring life. Why do we hang on to that stuff? Folks, the new and improved version is here. The new and improved is here. God wants to renew, to rebuild better than what we had before. When I think about some of these shows that I don't watch this show. I can't hardly stand to watch it, but there's a show on TV called Hoarders or something like that. I don't know, even know the name of it, but it's about these people who are, I mean, they'll admit to you that they're sick. There's a illness that they just have to have this stuff, and they'll walk into the house with the cameras, and sometimes there's just a trail through the house, and there's just bags and boxes and stuff just stacked up everywhere. They don't even know what they've got, but they can't seem to throw anything away. They want to keep all that stuff. They'll go out and dig through people's trash, bring it in, and keep it. I mean, it gets plumb gross sometimes, folks, because people don't want to throw away leftovers, and it's just nasty. But why are some Christians hoarding Christians? Why do some people that call themselves Christians want to keep on holding on to all of this junk and the funk and the stinky, the smelly, the nasty, the broken, the rusty, the no good, worn out? Why do we want to hang on to those things? It just clutters up our houses. Scripture tells us that our bodies are the temple, right? Our bodies are the temple. Is your temple clean and orderly? Or are there piles of old, outdated, broken, dirty, rusty junk laying around in your mind and in your heart? In your attitudes, in your behaviors. It's a good time, right after Christmas, before the new year, to take inventory. Really sit down and kind of make a list. Wow, these are some things that I've got that aren't working. They're broken down. They're rusty. I don't even know why I have that, but I just keep it laying around. And again, I'm talking about not going through your house and marking off the broom that needs to be replaced, and the vacuum cleaner that the belt squeaks on. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about looking introspectively at your life and saying, okay, you know what, this attitude I struggle with, this behavior, this bitterness that I have, I struggle with that. It's tearing me up. It's eating me up, and I know that that's something that I need to get rid of, because when I get rid of that bitterness, the joy of the Lord comes in and fills up that void in my house, in my temple, and I want to experience the joy rather than the bitterness. And so it's a decision we have to make. We have to kick that stuff to the curb, get it out of there. It's a good time to take inventory. Right after Christmas, as the new year approaches, it's a good time to evaluate ourselves and see if there needs to be a yard sale to get rid of the old junk. Things like, again, habits, attitudes, addictions, maybe even some friendships that are not honoring God need to go, or maybe at the very least, move down the priority list. Now I've gone to meddling, haven't I? God does the work of renewing and rebuilding, folks. However, we have a responsibility. Just like if someone gives me a new power drill for Christmas, I have to get rid of the old broken one. If it was still good, I wouldn't have needed a new one. Right? Well, guess what? If my old way of living was still good, I wouldn't have needed Jesus. We have to box up the old stuff, take it to the curb. We have to deny our desire to gossip, to lust, to be hateful, to be selfish. Jesus said, if any man wants to follow me, he must first deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You see, he brings the new, but we must deny the old. We have work to do. We have work to do. We don't work to earn salvation. Salvation is a free gift. At least it's free to us. It costs God very much. It costs him dearly. But he gives that to us at no charge. You don't have to earn that. But when you receive that gift, you got to make room for it. You got to make room for it. I have some old things that aren't useful anymore. I have some things that aren't useful anymore or don't work that I keep on a shelf to remember some certain things or times or places or people. And that's okay. I'm not saying you can't have some antiques or some. I collect oil lamps, and my wife despises my oil lamp collection, but I really like them. I try to make sure they work, and we use them from time to time because we lose power quite a bit out at Lake Waterwheel, right? And but we use them. But they're really not ideal, but I really like them. And there's nothing wrong with having some things, okay? But what I'm saying is if it's got no purpose or if it's detrimental, you need to kick it out. You need to kick it out. There's a difference between living, between that, what I'm talking about, keeping a few knickknacks or whatever around, keeping some things that might be useful, keeping a line of cars out behind the barn if you've got space, okay? There's nothing wrong with that. There's a difference between that and living in a museum or a junkyard, right? Keeping your life so full of this junk that you can't even find the things you need to find or locate or even use the things that are good that are buried beneath the junk and the funk and the attitudes. What is it that you need to get rid of today? Let's make this a house cleaning day. I was watching the girls put away Christmas yesterday. It's been a long weekend. They were putting away Christmas, and they had to go through. And let me tell you how bad I am. We had strings and strings of lights that did not work that we had boxed up in the attic. I knew they didn't work. But those little light bulbs, maybe I would need one day, and I could get, okay? So after Christmas this year, when they're putting the Christmas stuff away, Aaron's checking the lights, plugging them in. Mom, this one's a good one. Put it in the box. Mom, this one doesn't work. Throw it away. Mom, half of this one works. Throw it away. And I'm going, oh, I could use half of it somewhere. But I relented. She went through and there was some old... I opened up the trash to throw something in there and there was this snow globe music box in there. I went, oh, baby, it's a music box. Why'd you throw this away? And I looked at it, and you couldn't hardly even see the ornament inside because the water was just like murky and brown. It was really disgusting. And I thought, oh, but maybe there's some way we can drill it out. We can fill it with new oil or something because that's so... Throw it away. All right, throw it away. Throw it away. Folks, we have things in our lives that we want to hold on to. We want to keep. It's, oh, but that's sentimental. I love that. It doesn't honor God. I know that. But still, it's part of who I am. You know what? It may have been part of who you were, but it's not part of who you are anymore because all things have become new. A new creation. A new creation. What do you need to get rid of today? Make this a house cleaning day. You will find that you will have more room for the things of God, and His things are always better. They are new. They're improved. They're eternal. Guess what? The things of God don't wear out. They don't need replacing. Trade it in today. Trade it in. Trade it in. I love the song, I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying it all down for the joy of the Lord. You see, God's stuff's always better. And He wants to give you those things. But we have to be the ones to kick the old stuff to the curb, right? Bitterness, anxiety, habits, addictions, worry. That's right. Maybe you're experiencing health issues because of your lifestyle, the way you live, or something like that. God wants you to honor Him with your body, does He not? Amen. So let's kick that old stuff out and say, God, this year. And you don't have to wait till January 1 to start. You could dump some stuff today and get rid of it. Ready for your homework? Remember I told you you're going to have homework? Here's your homework. Tonight we're not having church. Okay? But I want to challenge you. When you sit down to dinner tonight, I'm going to do this with my family. Okay? When you sit down to dinner tonight, sit down with a pen and paper or pencil and paper or crayon and cardboard or chalk and chalk, whatever you have, something you can mark down. What are you getting rid of? What are you getting rid of this year, today? What are you getting rid of? And it may very well be an attitude, maybe an addiction, maybe a habit, it may be a friendship that you need to put on the back burner or put on the shelf somewhere for a little while because it's not it's being detrimental to you and your growth, your spiritual growth. Maybe it's your laziness to not read the Word of God. I'm going to get rid of my laziness to read the Word of God, and I'm going to pick up the new. Remember new and improved? I'm going to get a new attitude about Scripture, and I'm going to desire to read it. I'm going to ask God to give me the desire to read His Word. Guess what? Do you think God wants you to read His Word? Do you think if you ask God to give you a desire to love and to read His Word, He's going to give that to you? Absolutely. But if you think if there's no room for it, where are you going to put it? You got to kick some stuff out. Today's assignment, tonight at supper time, make a list. I'm not going to tell you how long your list has to be. Maybe it's just one item. Maybe it's three. Maybe it's a book. I don't know. But what do you need to get rid of today to make room for God's blessings tomorrow? Make a list. That's not the end of the challenge. Some of you will be bold enough to tell somebody else about it. Some of you will not. And you know why? Because that means I got to do it. Or they're going to make fun of me if I don't. You see, there's accountability there. I'm going to challenge you. Somebody in this room, somebody, put it on social media for everybody to see. That's a challenge. That's a big deal. Right? Put on Facebook, this year, I'm going to give up. Be careful, okay? If you're going to put a friendship on the back burner, don't put it on Facebook until you've spoken to that person, right? Don't put on there, this year, I'm going to start loving my brother. They think you already do. Or maybe not, but you don't need to put that there. But maybe you need to say, you know what? This year, I'm going to extend grace more, and I'm going to hold grudges less. That's what I'm talking about. Make that list. What do you need to give up this year? I'm going to challenge somebody to post it somewhere. Maybe you just need to send a text message to me, and that's fine. My number's in the bulletin there, right to my cell phone. Maybe you just need to tell me about it and keep it private, and that's fine. Maybe you want to put it on the social media. Maybe you want to blast it. Maybe you want to make a web page and make it interactive and people can, you know, whatever you think, man. But it's a challenge. Why? Because it holds you accountable to it. People will know and people will expect there to be a difference in you. Is it okay for people to expect there to be a difference in you? Why? Because it's what God expects. God expects us to be different than what we were before Christ. A difference between that and after knowing who Jesus Christ is and the revelation that has come when we receive the forgiveness that only He can offer. Maybe it's just possible that there's somebody in this room that says, you know what? What I need to give up is a life that's leading to hell. And I'm going to pick up Jesus and change my direction. Maybe somebody's going to say, you know what? I'm going to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest gift of all, this Christmas. I'm going to get it a day late. Oh, but it's never late. And I'm going to get it. I'm going to receive that gift. And I'm going to live a life that honors Jesus Christ for the rest of my day. Maybe somebody makes that decision. Whatever your decision is, I'm not going to tell you what you got to throw away. I don't know you like God does. And I tell you what, if you don't know what you need to get rid of, you just ask God and then sit there quietly for a while, and things will start coming to your mind. He'll start bringing things to your mind. Things maybe you didn't even remember. Things you forgot about. Possibly even some things that you really don't want to get rid of, but God says you need to. Then you have the choice. Are you going to box it up, kick it to the curb, or are you going to hang it back up on the shelf? Stick it in that closet. What are you going to do? This time that we're about to have is, and we call it the invitation time, it's the altar time, whatever you want to call it. I'm going to be standing right here in the front. I'm going to ask my wife to come stand with me. There's a reason why I asked my wife to come stand with me. Fran brought this up, actually. It was a great idea. Because some people don't want to come and visit with this a big old ugly guy. They want to visit with somebody cute and pretty and somebody that has a better words or whatever. Maybe you're a lady and you feel more comfortable coming to Rebecca. And that's why she's up here with me, okay? Plus, it makes me look better. But we'll be standing up here in the front. But guess what? The altar is always open. You know that as Christians, you don't have to go through a priest any longer. God has given us direct access to Him through Jesus Christ. So you can come to the altar and get right to God. That's what the altar's for, and it's always open. Maybe you're here today and you need to receive Jesus Christ. Let me encourage you. Don't leave this place until you've done business with the Savior. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. Maybe you're here today and you want to decide to join this fellowship and become official member of Dolan Baptist Church. We can make that happen too today. You come and you see us here. You come to the altar. Maybe you need to go see somebody else in the room today. Let me encourage you. If you have that need and the Spirit prompts you to do that, you do that. Don't leave out of here with unfinished business. This is your time. Father in heaven, we love you. We honor you. Lord, we thank you for Christmas. And we thank you, Father, that we get to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, that you have a desire to renew us and to refresh us and make us more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, it's my prayer, and I believe it's your prayer, that we would respond to that call. We would respond to that and be willing to get rid of those things that don't honor you, to get rid of those things that are actually detrimental to our faith. Father, as we would do that, you would replenish that with new and improved, the better. And Father, we want that. We want to honor you, Father. Help us to honor you. We pray it in Christ's name.